At Best Western, we can't promise you the perfect family beach vacation. We can't promise that it won't rain, or that you won't get a sunburn, or that your family won't endearingly call you Lobster Mom for weeks afterward. What we can promise is a warm welcome and a comfortable room amidst all the joyful chaos. Lobster Mom. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western, with over 4,200 hotels worldwide.
Pandora makes it easy for you to find your favorite music. Discover new artists and genres by selecting any song or album, and we'll make you a personalized station for free. Download on the Apple App Store or Google Play and enjoy the soundtrack to your life.
Longest Shortest Time is brought to you by Invitae. Your genes can tell you if you're 12% French or 6% Italian. They can also tell you a lot about your future health. When you take an Invitae genetic test, they search for meaningful health information, like whether you're at an increased risk for inherited cancer or heart disease. Based on your results, you may be able to take steps to potentially lower that risk. Learn more by visiting Invitae.com. That's Invitae.com.
One of my weirdest memories of being in the hospital after my daughter was born is of something that happened every night that I was there. So three nights in a row. In the middle of the night when it was still dark, somebody would come in with a flashlight and ask to check inside my underpants. And it felt sort of like I was in a sci-fi movie and these were aliens coming in, searching for the key to how to destroy humanity, which of course, could only be found in the contents of my underpants. I was talking about this with one of my mom friends, and she said, when you have a baby, what's in your underpants isn't your own anymore. And I would expand that to what's in your bra isn't your own anymore either. I think at this point, I've been breastfeeding for a year, and I can't even begin to count how many people have seen my nipples. There were the people at the hospital. There's all the moms in all the different mom groups I've been to. I'm sure there's random people from restaurants who caught a glimpse when I couldn't figure out how to get the blanket to stay up while also balancing a baby and getting her in the right position to eat. So anyway, I had just always thought that I would breastfeed my baby, and the thing was that when Sasha was born, she had to be rushed to the NICU. They had to pump her full of fluids. So she had formula before she ever had breast milk, which was great because it saved her life, but it also made things kind of rough with the breastfeeding in the beginning. And I wound up having to go back in for surgery a week after Sasha was born, and it made it so it was really almost impossible for me to get into a good position to nurse Sasha. And my midwife told me, you know, that it was okay if I wasn't capable of doing it or of keeping up with the pumping, but I should know that I was probably looking at having low supply down the road. And it was just really hard to hear that because I wasn't capable of walking around with Sasha. I wasn't capable of changing her diaper. So I felt like feeding her was the only thing I had, and I just clung to it. So I called a lactation consultant to come to the house, this woman, Marlene, and Marlene was a really laid-back lactation consultant. Her attitude was, there's not just two options. There's not only breastfeeding or formula. You can do a combination of a lot of things, you know, as long as your baby is thriving. And so what we did was I would start by nursing her, and then I would pump. And while I was pumping, my husband would feed her a bottle of milk that I had previously pumped. And then because she wouldn't have usually had enough after that, we would feed her a bottle of formula. And it was completely exhausting. You know, we were doing this entire cycle every 2 hours on the dot, even through the night for a while. So, you know, it was kind of crazy. But the thing is, it worked. I was able to build my supply up until I could just feed her from the breast. And for me, because of my situation, I felt like I needed to do that just for my sanity. But for a lot of families, sticking with one of those other combo methods is what's best for them. And today we're going to hear from somebody who did stick with one of those other methods and is totally, totally happy about it. This is the fifth episode of the Longest Shortest Time podcast. I'm Hillary Frank. And Hi is my first guest who came to me just as a listener. She sent me her story as a submission through the website. And I called her up on her son Iden's 3-month birthday. She talked to me in her car after she had just dropped him off at daycare. And pretty quickly, we figured out that we had probably seen the same breastfeeding film in our classes back when we were pregnant.
Well, it was from the 80s, first of all. Like, it was very dated. And, you know, after the mom delivered the baby, you know, it was like the baby was placed on the mom's chest.
And then the baby makes her way over and just starts sucking magically.
I mean, and, you know, I mean, part of it is, like, you know, other mammals, like, you know, cute little baby kittens can't see and they find their way to the mom's nipple. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
I don't know, like it struck me as believable. You know what I mean? Like this
right.
Nature.
And so then what happened for you in reality?
So Iden came like 4.5 weeks early. So his suck reflex wasn't like great. You know, I asked the nurse, like, what are we going to do about him feeding? So she sat me in a, you know, in a chair and she put all these pillows around me and, you know, like, she helped me in position Iden, like, where he was supposed to be. And he was starting to get, like, frantic. And then, you know, the nurse tried to put some formula on my nipple. And then, like, and then Iden would, like, scream his head off even more.
And then did you keep trying?
Yeah. And so then the lactation consultant came and then she was like, well, your nipples are inverted and his, like, suck is not very strong. And so then she said, well, you know, you have to start with formula because it's not working right now. And so, you know, wear these nipple shields. And so I, you know, wore them, like, diligently. And so then the nurse was like, well, you should probably pump because that will help you with your milk stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
So then she wheeled in the pump. And I don't even think she kind of told me what to do. She just said, well, here it is. And then,
yeah.
Yeah, and then she laughed.
Uh-huh.
Then I got a third lactation consultant, and she said, oh, good, you have a breast pump. You need to pump 8 times a day and at least for 15 minutes, and, you know, you have to, like, have him try to latch on, like, 5 times a day.
And also get enough sleep.
Right, just even just trying to physically recover, you know. Like, I would take a nap, and I would, like, think, oh, I've only gotten, you know, like, 3 pumps in today. Like, what am I doing? I'm, like, such a bad mom. You know what I mean? And just, like, this whirlwind of stress around, like, breastfeeding, you know?
Yeah, there are so many opportunities right after you have a baby to feel like you're a bad mom. And especially surrounding feeding.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, I think it's just, there's, like, no one else to be in that position but you. Like, Iden only has one mom, and my job was to, like, feed him.
And feed him with your body.
Yeah, exactly. And then, like, to admit, like, your body's tired or that it's not doing what it's supposed to be doing, like, by nature's law or something. You know, it's, like, an overwhelming burden. I mean, it just felt like such a big weight.
Yeah, yeah. It's like your body is, like, suddenly telling you you're not the mother you wanted to be or something.
Yeah, exactly. And then, like, I got home, and he was 6 days old now. And so, you know, the pediatrician, when she heard that I was pumping, and she was like, so have you not tried to breastfeed? And I was like, oh, I mean, of course I've tried to breastfeed. And, you know, she was saying, you either have to, like, keep trying to breastfeed or just switch the formula because, you know, pumping exclusively will only last you a couple of weeks because then your brain will catch up that it's not really a baby sucking on your nipple and your milk supply will, like, start shutting down. So the fourth lactation consultant, I had Moira. She was awesome.
And is Moira a lactation consultant from the hospital or is she independent?
Oh, she's a lactation consultant from the hospital, but they also do outpatient stuff.
Okay.
So we went to the Moira's office, and it was, I mean, it was very calm, and, like, and he fed really well, you know. And so when I got home, you know, I tried to, like, recreate, you know, like, I dimmed the lights, and I sat in the chair, and I positioned my breastfeed, and I brought my breast friend, and I tried to relax, and it just, like, you know, it just was frantic again, you know. So, like, all night I kind of tried to breastfeed him again. And I felt really, like, I was like, maybe I'm not normal, like, or maybe I'm, like, going through, like, some depression or something, because there's not this, like, you know, innate oozing of, like, love. So I called Moira again the next day, and I was, like, and just bawling. I was like, it's not working. I don't know what to do. And so she said, what is it that you actually want to do? Because it's not that you can't do it, but it's just, like, what is it that you want to do? So when I finally thought about it, and I was like, I want to give my baby breast milk, but I don't want to just breastfeed.
Yeah.
And so she said, well, then just pump. And then I, you know, told her about what the pediatrician said, and she got, like, really mad, and she was like, that's absolutely not true. You know, your milk supply won't, most likely won't, like, dry up, you know? Oh, this is the other thing she said. She's like, spend the time enjoying your baby instead of stressing out about every feeding time. And I was like, oh, yeah, I should enjoy my baby. Up to that point, I hadn't really enjoyed him. You know, like, the next, like, the bottle that I gave him, like, after that conversation with Moira was, like, so, it was just, like, different and great. So, I mean, I can't, like, say it was, like, this, like, magical, like, mommy, you know, we locked eyes and we, like, all these hearts, like, went a flutter, but I just felt like I can be a better mom for him.
Yeah. Yeah. Where, like, you could see your future.
Yeah. Yeah. I was actually, like, seeing, like, noticing more, like, details about Aiden.
Like what?
Just, you know, like, how he would always, like, hook on my finger with his hand, like, or, like, he would just piddle-paddle his feet. You know what I mean? Just, like, little things, details that I didn't notice before because I was so consumed by this, like, responsibility to breastfeed. You know what I mean? So, mm-hmm. I mean, it was nice to, like, see him as, like, this, you know, like, my son.
Hi is still pumping exclusively and does not plan on attempting breastfeeding again. She's a social worker in Raleigh, North Carolina. Thanks for listening to the Longest Shortest Time podcast. I'm Hillary Frank. Tune in next time for a woman who was a vegetarian for 2 decades and decides that the answer to all her baby's problems is to eat meat. And if you've got a story about a struggle in early parenthood, you can be like Hi. You can be on this podcast. Go to longestshortesttime.com and click contact.
I'm standing outside Smithsonian's National Museum of American History. Inside, there are like a trillion objects, and I have to go in there and find 10.
So we open a drawer here, and there's Indiana Jones's jacket and Indiana Jones's whip.
What is this?
Now Prince donated this guitar.
I'm Asif Manvi, and I am lost at the Smithsonian. Where do I begin? This place is obviously full of fascinating stuff.
Fonzie's jacket, right? Worn by Henry Winkler on Happy Days.
There are 156 million objects in the Smithsonian's collections.
Here are Muppets.
These aren't just objects. They're pieces of America's self-identity.
I'm looking at a robe with the name Muhammad Ali.
Only 10 episodes, only 10 objects.
That's pretty amazing.
Lost at the Smithsonian is out now. Subscribe now in Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
Finding the music you love shouldn't be hard. That's why Pandora makes it easy to explore all your favorites and discover new artists and genres you'll love. Enjoy a personalized listening experience simply by selecting any song or album, and we'll make a station crafted just for you. Best of all, you can listen for free. Download Pandora on the Apple App Store or Google Play and start hearing the soundtrack to your life.